listening to Spooky Show with your host, Kate.
We're going already?
We're going already.
Whoa.
No shenanigans.
We usually have some shenanigans going on.
The shenanigans. We got no time. We're late.
We're late
this week.
We was busy.
We were busy.
Busy lives. Yes. Harrison's still busy, and we finally got a small little chance.
Hey, listen, we're here together. That's all that matters now.
Aw.
We're here together, and that's all that matters now.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Spooky Show. Oh, not the Spooky Show. We got to drop the "the." It's cleaner.
It's cleaner.
But it is the spookiest show in the entire world ever.
In the history of the world, in the entire universe.
And Uranus and Saturn. And
Uranus is here.
Jupiter and Neptune and Venus and Mars. Not Earth.
That's correct.
I am Kate.
I'm Harrison.
And Harrison, I hate to tell you what's about to happen today.
What's about to happen?
This was a highly requested episode.
No, you sicko fucks.
So you know what that means.
Sicko shit. Sicko mode. You fucking absolute pervs.
This is rough.
This is going to be like a violent... This is going to be like violence towards women.
Yes.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
Y'all got to stop with this. Are you at home? Enough.
It's
enough with
one.
The horrible violent crimes towards women.
It's a tough one. Yeah, but you guys ask, we answer. Harrison more reluctantly, but
when y'all sickos do this shit,
we're
calling them
sickos.
Well, they are.
We love them.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
We love them.
You're being sick.
I think maybe now it's enjoyment of just like you squirming.
I have cried because of episodes you all have, like, asked us to do.
Yeah.
And
this
so,
is not any better.
What the hell?
Okay. I love you all. I'm gonna put trigger warnings where necessary, so they will come. Don't you worry. Today we're talking about the Hello Kitty murder.
What the fuck is... I feel like I've heard about this before, actually.
Okay, well... Yeah, everyone brace yourselves. I really thought I knew what this was, but turns out I did not. Turns out I was wrong about what this story was about. So I was pleasantly surprised and horrified while researching.
Okay.
All right.
There's a lot of information out there.
Not really, but because I didn't know, I thought I knew what the story was, but I was wrong. And
yeah, I feel like I've heard this
before.
Oh, so you're pleasantly surprised by how bad it was.
Let's go. Okay. So May 1999 in Sim Sha Tsui in Hong Kong.
Okay.
Police are at the station, chilling, doing police stuff. Eating donuts, drinking coffee.
Uh-huh.
When a girl comes into the station who's very unwell, flustered, whatnot, and also clearly very young.
Okay.
In fact, she just turned 14 years old.
Oh, okay, so very young.
Yes. She came in alone, and when police asked her what was going on, she said that she thought she was being haunted. So, you know, in America... Police would probably be like, okay, weirdo, take a hike.
They'd 5150 them and be like, you're a threat.
Yeah, or that. But I think these police officers noticed that she was like alone. She was young. She was obviously very, very upset and shaken by something.
Okay.
So they sat her down and let her talk about what was going on with her. So she starts talking about this spirit that would come to her every night. And this 14-year-old said... The spirit was a young woman in her 20s who always had blood all over her. The girl also said that she thought the only way she could get the spirit to stop coming to her was if she went to the police. So now police are starting to kind of understand why she went to the police of all people to discuss, you know, something paranormal. But also, like, I don't know, she's young. It was probably the first thing she could think of to do.
Yeah, of course.
And then, really, though, she spilled the beans, and it came out that this young girl had taken part in the torture and murder of a young woman in her 20s, and that the spirit who was visiting her every night was the victim who was haunting her until she confessed to the police.
Word.
Now, we don't know the name of this teenage girl.
Yeah, that'll
girl.
Do it.
Yeah. So young. We don't know the name of this girl who claims she's being haunted because she tortured and murdered somebody. We don't know her name. It's never been released to the public. She's mostly protected by a pseudonym. How do you say that?
Pseudonym. Like cinnamon. Pseudonym.
There we go.
Yeah, it's like synonym.
Yeah, she has one of those in articles and resources. But we do know that she was 14 when she went to the police and confessed that she was 13 when she actually took part in this crime that she's confessing to.
Okay.
So now she was 13 and, you know, she didn't do this alone. She's 13. She took part in this torture and murder of this young woman with a group of people, but she was the youngest of them and she was the only female. All the other people in this group were men in their 20s and 30s, and they were powerful men who were members of the Triad.
This, I feel like I've heard this part before.
Okay. They were members of the Triad, which is essentially like the Chinese mafia.
Yeah.
You know, organized crime, very rich and powerful and terrifying people. And the young girl said that it was mostly the men who were harming the young woman and that she would occasionally just like jump in and do something, I guess. So police are obviously like, okay, how did this 13-year-old girl get sucked into like doing a crime like this? Well, one of the older men in the group was her boyfriend, and he was 34. 34-year-old man.
Yeah. To be hanging out with kids like that?
So that's terrible.
That's creepy.
Yeah, dating a 13-year-old.
I got a big old eye for that one.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump back, and we'll get into what happened here.
Okay, do tell. Pray tell.
So the victim the young girl is referring to is 23-year-old Fan Man Yi. Uh-huh. She was essentially a sex worker, and I say essentially because she's often referred to as like a nightclub hostess in some sources.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm not sure if that's just what they call it in Hong Kong, but you know, long story short, she was basically a sex worker. She had a very rough upbringing. Her parents abandoned her when she was very young, so she grew up in a lot of orphanages. But when she reached the age of 16, she was no longer qualified, I guess, to live in these orphanages. So she left. She became houseless, which obviously led to more struggles like drug addiction. And then she turned to illegal sex work in the streets simply just to survive. And amidst all of this, she gave birth to a son around this time as well, but we don't know who the father is. In 1997, when Fan Man Yi was 21 years old, she began working in a brothel rather than on the streets, which is good. You know, she had like regular clients and a boss and people who were actually looking out for her and making sure that she was around. I wouldn't necessarily say, like, making sure she was safe, because this brothel she worked at in particular didn't attract the safest clientele. A lot of her clients were sketchy and members of the Triad, including even some of her bosses.
Yikes.
So one day...
It's often a thing.
Yeah. One day, Fan Man Yi got a visit from a regular client, a man named Chan Man Lok.
Okay.
He was 34 years old. A member of the Triad, and Fan Man Yi was his personal favorite in the brothel. So on this particular day, Fan Man Yi decided that when she gave him his usual services, she was going to steal his wallet. Which,
what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so his wallet had around 4,000 Hong Kong dollars in it, which is the equivalent to 500 US dollars. But this didn't go over as well as she planned it would. Man Lok caught Man Yi eventually. Not in the moment, but it was just them two in the room. So I imagine that when he left the brothel, he noticed it was gone and knew it was her. So he went back there and demanded the money back plus 10,000 Hong Kong dollars in interest.
What?
For disrespecting him.
That's why you don't mess with the mafia.
Yeah. And we don't know this, but we can assume he probably threatened her if she didn't pay. But Man Yi managed to get the 4,000 Hong Kong dollars and she gave it back to Man Lok, but she did not have the $10,000 Hong Kong dollars in interest.
Okay.
So he was like, where's the rest of my money? And Man Yi said that she was going to give it to him, but it was going to take her a little while longer to get it together. And, you know, that was not the answer that he wanted.
No.
In fact, after hearing this, he deduced that, you know, he probably was not going to get that money back at all. So thinking this, he decides that, you know, this is the next best idea, is to enlist the help of his two friends who are also in the triad and kidnap Chan Man Yi.
Oh.
So Chan Man Lok, who is 34, like I said earlier, and his friends, 27-year-old Long Xing Cho and 21-year-old Long Wei Lun, all set out to go and find Fan Man Yi to kidnap her. On March 17th, 1999, the three men actually found Man Yi on the side of the road, and it was clear she was back working on the streets, and that's probably because she really didn't plan to pay Man Lok back, and she knew she couldn't go back to the brothel because he would find her there. So the three men grabbed Fan Man Yi, put her in the back of their car, and drove her to a property that was owned by the triad. This property was like an old, rundown, unfurnished, and honestly disgusting apartment. I could post pictures of it. It's not a great place. And Chan Man Lok's plan thus far is that he's going to make Fan Man Yi pay off her debt, whether through money or through like sex services.
Oh, God.
He was going to set up like a little mini brothel, but it was just Fan Man Yi.
Just going to be for her. Oh.
And she was going to like provide services.
Basically do like serfdom.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fucked.
She would provide services for him and his friends, his associates, his colleagues, you name it. And she was going to pay off her debt that way. So.
Jesus, like straight up sex slavery.
Here's where we're going to get into the brutalness of this case. So
if you're sensitive like me, please.
Poor Harrison. Yeah, we're going to be talking about torture and ultimately murder. I don't get that. You know me. I try to keep it as tame as possible. Okay,
all right,
so
do it.
On the first night that the men had Man Yi in this apartment, they all decided to beat and rape her essentially all night. This is something that would happen to Fan Man Yi just every day that she's in the apartment, beatings and rape. Let me just say, too, all of this is coming from the teenage girl that I talked about in the beginning of the story. The men involved won't talk about what they've done. But this is also where the teenage girl would, like, join in from time to time when they were beating her and whatnot. I guess she would just punch her.
Just because she, like, thought that she needed to?
Probably. Her boyfriend's this 34-year-old, like, powerful man, and she's like, I want him to like me.
Yeah, I believe that.
Or she was being threatened, too. Like, right. Who knows? So at first it started out with just them like using their hands and their fists, but then eventually they started using weapons. They would use like metal bars, kitchen utensils, bats, pieces of furniture. The teenage girl said that these men would force Manny to smile and laugh and tell them how happy and excited she was about her beatings. And if she wouldn't do that, they would like beat her harder. And it wasn't long until Fan Manny was so brutally beaten that, you know, she could no longer provide the services that was supposed to pay off her debt, you know?
Yeah.
So she couldn't move. And, you know, potential clients who would maybe pay Man Lok for her services were obviously, like, no longer attracted to her or wanted to because she was almost lifeless. Like, she looked beaten. She could barely move. They're like, why would I pay for services from this person?
From like a corpse, basically. Yeah. Not to be like too flip about it, but.
Well, yeah. So now that Man Lok's plan wasn't going to work anymore, he kind of stopped caring. And he was happy enough just to like have someone he could use and beat and rape. He was like, all right, well, at least we have her.
Horrific.
So as the days went on, the men started to become more kind of creative with the ways they would torture Manny. They began melting and burning plastic onto her body and dripping candle wax on her. And when they ran out of things to burn, they would just burn her skin. In particular, they would burn the bottoms of her feet so she couldn't stand or walk. And when they would wound her, this part I don't like. When they would wound her and she had, like, big gashes on her, they would take food and spices and, like, feces and urine and stuff it in her wounds and smear it in on her open cuts.
That's so awful.
Yeah, like, I don't like that one. I don't like any of it.
Yeah, I mean, that is, like, so cruel. Like, that is, like, truly some sick shit.
They also forced Manny to consume her own urine and feces, and I believe they were starving her, too. If she refused to, like, not do any of this, the men would beat her, of course. Around halfway through her captivity, Famani was so weak that the men started to get bored of her because she couldn't move or react as much to the pain they were causing her, which they were obviously getting enjoyment out of. So one of the men suggested that they suspend Manny in the air, making her easier to beat, like a literal punching bag. So they tied up her wrists with an electrical cord and tied up the other hand and the other end to the ceiling fan so that she was just hanging there. And they would leave her there for hours at a time and sometimes overnight. And then on April 15th, which is almost like a full month after Manny was abducted, the group of men decided that they wanted to go out for food. So that was, you know, all three of the men and Manlock's teenage girlfriend from the beginning of the story. And now when they did want to go out for food and do something like this, they would usually lock Famani in the bathroom so that she wouldn't try to escape. So they did this and then all went out for food. And when they came back to the apartment a few hours later, that's when Chamanlock's 13-year-old girlfriend went to the bathroom and found Famani dead in the bath. Her body was just oozing this thick orange pus. Highly recommend not researching this case by yourself because there are photos online. FYI.
Okay.
Just a little warning. So upon this discovery, the group, they were shocked somehow. Like, they were, like, not expecting her to die, I guess. And they didn't know what to do with a dead body in their apartment. So all the men and the teenage girl, they went into the other room. They're trying to figure out what they should do. They slept on it, and then they thought about it the next morning, and Chamanlock decided that he had the best plan in the entire world.
What is his plan?
He said that
What this man about to do?
Oh, he said that her body could not remain in one piece, or it would be easy, like, too easy to identify, and also hard to dispose of. So since her body was already in the bathtub, Chamanlock took a butcher knife and began dismembering her body. To remove her flesh from the bones, they decided that they were going to put her body parts in a pot on the stove and boil the flesh and muscle and everything off the bone.
Why?
They're trying to, like, get rid of...
But, like, why that way? Like,
does that work? I guess it does. It did work here.
Boil flesh off of bone?
Yeah.
Like, and they think it's, like, going to just disintegrate into, like, what? Like, soup?
Maybe.
Or, like, gelatin?
I don't know what happens. I don't know. They did get rid of it, though. Like, and just for a little added extra bonus, some of the men were cooking noodles in the pot next to her. Well, that's fun.
Ew. Like, they had, like, her body on one burner, and that's, like, some truly sick shit.
Well, get this. After they were done doing this, they actually used that same pot to cook food in. I mean, it wasn't full-on cannibalism, but it's... disgusting. And now we're going to get into why this is actually called the Hello Kitty murder.
Yeah, please tell.
Because you might be confused.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused.
You don't know why? You have no idea?
I'm playing my role.
Do you know, though?
I feel like I do, but do tell.
Okay. So once the men finished boiling all the flesh and whatnot from Famani's head, they actually took her skull and stuffed it inside of a Hello Kitty mermaid doll and sewed the whole thing back up.
How big is this doll?
It's pretty big. I'll post a picture of it on my Instagram, but
I mean,
it's
I don't really want to see it, but
well, you can't like. I don't.
It's not
actually,
like seeping through or anything.
No. It just looks like a doll, but it's pretty big, and it's just her skull, like with all the skin, you know.
Yeah.
Boiled off, so I don't know if it's even that big, you know. The only things that police ever found a Fermani's body was the skull in this doll, one of her teeth on the floor, and some of her organs in the fridge. So they were probably gonna, I don't know what they were gonna do with them, but maybe sell them.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. I mean, you gotta keep them cold.
Yeah.
Oh.
But of course, without a full body, like the police couldn't determine the cause of death. So
right.
We don't know.
Did someone confess?
The girl in the beginning.
Oh, okay, right. I was about to be like, well, if they couldn't figure out how, then how did they figure out who? But yes, the girl from the beginning, of course, at all times. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like.
But this is kind of where
you
the
did a nice job with setting that up with that little anecdote at the top.
You got to hook them.
It's like a nice little hook back. You're like, oh, right. It does all connect back to the girl at the beginning.
You got to hook them.
Good shit.
I love being a storyteller.
All right, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, so, well, speaking of, like, confessing and everything, this is honestly where the case gets a little confusing because we have this, like, 14-year-old girl who's, you know, telling police, like, this torture and this murder story, like, all this happened. But meanwhile, the men, they had a completely different story. They said that they were just running a very small brothel with just Fermani, and it was all consensual. However, Fermani was a drug addict and addicted to meth, and on this one particular day, she overdosed on meth. And the men supposedly panicked because she was under their care. And, like, they can't do a toxicology or anything because they don't have her body. So that's what the men are saying. And the 14-year-old girl is like, no, it was torture and murder. So the men said that they knew they would be in trouble if one of their sex workers died of an overdose. So to hide the body, they stuffed it in a Hello Kitty doll and boiled it. And, so while the police couldn't prove, like, that they tortured and killed this girl, they really can't. They can't prove it.
And so they didn't convict him or anything?
No.
I was like, wait, come on now.
But it's just wild, like, to think that they actually can't.
Yeah.
They could say, though, that she died under their supervision and that they try to hide it. So, you know, that's also a crime. It also looks very suspicious. So because of these conflicting accounts, the police just... they couldn't charge these men with murder because there wasn't any evidence. So instead, all three men were charged with manslaughter and were given life sentences without the possibility of parole.
Oh, yeah. Oops, manslaughter. Didn't know that, like, beating a woman to fucking death over and over again.
Can't prove it.
God damn it.
So they got, life sentences.
I'm sick of this world.
They got life sentences with the possibility of parole for 20 years. So, like, oh, no, without the possibility of parole for 20 years. So, if you want to do a little math, you'll be a little scared. But
no, thank you.
All three men were visited by psychiatrists after this, and they couldn't find anything wrong with them, surprisingly. And they showed no remorse or sadness or anything for what they've done, but they were all deemed, like, sane. The teenage girl, and, like, although she took part in this torture for a little bit, she actually was let free without any charges or anything because she gave so much evidence against these men. Yeah. So after this, because of the accounts that the 14-year-old girl gave to the police about Fermani's spirit coming and everything, people who believe in, like, the paranormal believe that her spirit must be, like, very easy to contact. So the apartment building where she died actually became, like, a meeting place for people that were interested in this and wanted to, like, contact her spirit. And at first it was kind of, like, innocent, whatever. But after a while, it was kind of sinister and disrespectful. So in 2012, this place was demolished. Finally, this crime happened in 1999, and they didn't demolish that apartment building until 2012.
Oh, so people were, like, living in there?
People were going there to try to summon her spirit.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah.
No, see, like, that's sicko shit.
In 2016, on that plot of land, a hotel was built, which is also kind of creepy.
Okay.
And as for the three men, I tried so hard to find out. I believe they're still in jail. But they were all allowed parole after 20 years, which is in 2019.
That's absolutely awful.
I can't find any updates on them. And I'm sure we kind of would have heard if they got out. So I'm just going to bank on the fact that they're still in jail. We're all going to tell ourselves that so we can sleep at night. Chan Man Lok will probably be in jail forever. But his two friends who helped him claim that they only went along with the torture and murder because they were afraid of him. And so it's like possible they could get out more so. But like I said, we're just going to tell ourselves.
Yeah, we're just going to tell ourselves that's not true.
Yes. Parole means nothing.
Yeah.
You might not get possibility.
I mean, you've listened to the show, you know.
As for Fan Man Yi's son that we mentioned like very briefly in the beginning, he actually, last I heard, last I heard in articles, he was currently a student in Singapore, and he has no memory of his mom because I think he was like 2 when she passed away, but he does always wear one of her necklaces that police gave to him.
Oh, that is nice.
And that's it. Are y'all happy now?
No. I'm not. I'm sad.
Well,
this shit is sad. I don't like it when this kind of shit, we talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you know what that means?
It means someone's story is getting shared and hopefully it won't happen ever again.
Well, yes.
And it means we don't have to ever cover the story ever again.
We'll never have to cover stories like this ever again if we keep talking about them.
I know. If we talk about all of them, if we bang through every single one of these fucked up ass stories.
But also I was going to say what it means is that next week will be lighter.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to have some fun next week.
We'll have some fun next week. I'll try to think of, or you can, of course, suggest stuff, listeners. Suggest
that's
what's a fun one
up.
For Harrison. Well, it's Spooky Show. It's still got to be a little eerie.
Yeah, but some of them are fun.
We want Mel's Hole vibes.
Yeah, I want Mel's Hole vibes. Give us a Mel's Hole. Somebody give us the next Mel's Hole.
We need a new Mel's Hole. We need
Please.
One that'll make Harrison cry and be so
and
scared
then be
again.
So angry.
Yeah.
That I want to throw things.
Yeah.
The story about the fucking, the baby inside of the goddamn animal. The sheep.
Fetal seal.
Oh, the fetal seal and the fucking sheep, dude.
Should we make fetal seal merch?
No.
That's so funny.
No. No.
Fetal seal.
No.
Inside of the sheep tumor.
Yeah, it's just a hat that's just a sheep inside of a...
Or just a hat that says fetal seal.
Fetal seal. That's all of our listeners are the fetal seals.
Oh my God.
If you're a Spooky Show listener, you are a fetal seal. You're growing inside of us, the sheep. We are the sheep and you are just our fetal seal.
Hey, fetal seals.
Hey, fetal seals. It's back. It's us again. Back for another freaking spooktacular week. Back for another freaking spooktacular week.
Spooktacular. I don't think I had anything else to say except, you know, follow on Instagram at Spooky Show Pod. Rate and review the show.
I do. I have something to say.
Harrison has something to say.
Some of you understood the assignment last week, I believe, and went and followed on Spotify. So I'm going to issue a second week in a row. Please, if you're listening at home, go to Spotify. Go to your search bar. Search baseball, then a space, and then search the word, and then hat, and then type that in. There'll be two young men sitting, and that will be the picture. And go and follow that account, because there's a lot of great music coming your way. That's all I got.
Woohoo! Some of you did understand the assignment last week.
Sure.
It was great. He noticed followers go up, and he was so happy.
I was so happy. I like it when people listen to our music. We work really hard on it.
And like we said, I mean, you don't even really have to listen. You should, but
no, you,
the follow
but you
does
should.
Help.
Hey, for fans of good music.
And we know you all have great music taste.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all didn't really understand my assignment last week, which was to rate and review the show
but
on Apple Podcasts.
Maybe people don't listen. That many people don't listen on Apple Podcasts.
I know. So. It's also more work. But also you can rate on Spotify now, too. So, and that's just literally a tap. So, yeah, if you could, that'd be great.
Let's go.
It's the middle of the week, so this is odd. I guess have the best rest of your week of your entire life.
Have the best rest of your life.
Best rest of the week. Best.
Have your best rest.
Best rest of your life. Thanks for listening.
Best rest of your life. You're going to die. Bye.